Things we got on tap for you today. Now, how much of it we'll get to, I don't know. But y'all know how it goes right here. What we don't get to now, we'll get to in the power hour. That's right, the power hour. And for those that don't know what the power hour is, that's when we go overtime. That's right. So, I hope y'all ready for it because it's time to do the dang on thing. So how you doing? It's a nice balmy 96 degrees here in Texas. So I don't know about y'all, but we are feeling the heat finally. Yeah. But you know what? Some of us used to the heat, so there's no problem. We ain't got to get out the kitchen. Yeah. That's right. We don't. We don't have to worry about it. That's right. All right, y'all. Let's get on with the get on. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am Mr. Talk. And you want to join the conversation today? No problem. Just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me at letstalk@gmail.com. Or stop by my Facebook page where I'm always posting informative information for you. That's Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. And I do have a Twitter page. I do. Driven for FR60, Driven for Life 62 at twitter.com. That's right. You know what? I got to start popping on that thing again. I know sometimes I used to get away from it, but I'm good now. I'm finna get back to the Twitter account. You know what? It's funny though, because you know Twitter is Twitter. I don't know. I don't see how what's so special about it, but hey. It's a form of social media that we must take a look at. That's right. Today is the 21st of July, y'all. Ooh, boy, I tell you, you're just floating right on by, isn't it? You can't ask for nothing more than that. Another day, and you're happy. Yes, you're happy. Well, now that we have all that out of the way, let's go on and do some things here. you know, we're going to tell you about the house rules, because at the beginning of the week, some people fail to remember what the house rules are. So, you know, we like to remind you of what the house rules are all about. And they're just guidelines to let you know how to act when you're called into the show. Because some people need that reminder. Some people need to know what they're supposed to and not supposed to do. Okay. All right. I'm just saying. Anyway, on Let's Talk with Mr. Talk, who's speaking right now, for those that didn't know, again. We encourage open dialogue and like to hear everyone's opinion. I mean, we love to hear anyone and everyone's opinion. We do not discriminate. We don't care. If you got a squeaky voice, we'll listen to you. If you got an old, draw, monotone voice, we'll like to hear from you. We don't care. As long as you have an opinion, which everybody does, as the old saying goes, like an asshole, everybody got an opinion, right? Oh, so feel free to call in. Just feel free. Hey, nobody's going to turn you away. 347-838-8622. All right? However, when you do call in, please respect everyone's time to speak. In other words, do not talk over each other. Okay? I know there's some instances where everybody may want to hop in all at one time and get their little 200 cents in. But you have to remember, you know, it's not respectful. It's not proper etiquette. So don't be talking over each other. Respect their mic time. Just like you want them to respect yours, you respect theirs. And everything will be cool. See how easy that is? Yeah. The only person that may get to talking over people be me. Because I came up with a great point I want to make. Anyway. So, you know, no talking over each other. Respect everyone's mic time. Make your responses and comments as short as possible. You know, that way we have more time to listen to other callers and get them on the air and hear what they have to say. And we'll go from there. You know, see how easy it is. And see how I'm going about telling you how the house rules go. See how nice and easy that is. That's right. That's all it should be like. Just nice and easy. Of course. All right, so make your comments as short as possible. And, of course, no personal attacks. Don't we'll be attacking each other on here. That's not what this show is about. We don't attack each other. We attack the topics. We attack the what's going on, what we're talking about. That's what we attack. We do not attack each other. What's up, my grain? You know what I mean? That's what we do. So no personal attacks. Now, if you attack someone personally, then I will have to handle you. That's right. And I have a few ways of doing it. And I will not hesitate to kick you off, too, off the show. Yeah, I don't have no problem with that. I try not to. You know, it's been only a few instances, but let's not get it twisted. I will put you off the air. All right. And, of course, if anyone violates any of these house rules, hey, it is what it is. As I said before, I will handle you. It's not a big thing or a big problem, because I can do that. But we do encourage, you know, open dialogue, and you know, we do encourage respect toward each other, even in the chat room. You know, don't come in the chat room trying to start nothing, because I would kick you out of there also. It's not hard. Be respectful. You ought to act like you want people that treat you. Now, some of y'all have issues. Y'all want to be treated all crazy. Well, not on this show. It's not going to happen, okay? All right. And those are the house rules. So please abide accordingly to those rules. All right. With that being said, welcome to the show, y'all. Welcome to Let's Talk. Hope y'all had fun. Oh, this weekend. Hope everybody had a great win and made it through in one piece without any major difficulties. I know. Some of us do have difficulties on the weekend sometimes, because you just don't know what to do. But you know what? It's all good, because, as I said before, it's over. It's Monday. Time to get back on that grind, as I say. Yeah, get back on that grind. Get your work in. Just like I'm getting mine in right now, you need to go on and get yours in. That's right. well, you know, helping everybody. And I then spent time with the family and just relaxed and chilled out. It's all about relaxing and chilling. Chilling. Oh, migraine, you done started already. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, we're going to get the A, B, C, and D and going to come up with some E's and L for you, okay? All right. All right. Well, y'all, you know, I think today, you know, we haven't started, but we're going to start off discussing President Obama's latest statement on the Trayvon Martin verdict. You know, he stepped up and made a statement, and, you know, a lot of people had a problem with what he said. But you know what? We're going to talk a little bit about that. Hopefully we're not going to stay on it long, but yes, we are going to talk about the president's statement on that. Ebony, I see you out there. Has the baby been born yet? For those that's not watching television and haven't heard, the what's his name? Prince William and his wife, she's in labor. So we'll see about that. Like it really matters, but okay. The city of Detroit filed for bankruptcy. Yeah, they filed for bankruptcy. You know, and we're going to talk about that also because it's interesting how the city of Detroit got to this point to where they have to file for bankruptcy. And I'm going to ask the question, is Detroit filing for bankruptcy a precursor to what happened here in the United States? So we're going to talk about that also. And we're going to talk about why there's a fight over whether it's legal or not that they're actually fighting and filing bankruptcy. It's real interesting there. And like Detroit doesn't have enough problems. They have they got their own internal war going on now. Yeah, migraine is on it today. You know what? We ain't going to listen to migraine too much. Okay. And of course, whatever you, the caller, has on your mind, you know, we're going to talk about what you want to talk about also. We're going to try to fit it all in. If we can't fit it in the 2 hours, we're going to the power hour. And that's where we really get loose and wild because you don't hear it until after you log on. So we can really say what we want. So we're going to be talking about some of those things that's on your mind as well. Okay? So going to get that cup of Joe, that water, or you know, that glass of wine, you know, cut up with your boo, or just sit back, relax, and get ready for an outstanding show. Because it's coming. It's coming. Yes, it is. I'm ready. Anyway, so without further ado, let us get to the quote in the song of the day. Because it is Monday, y'all, and we got to start it off just right. And, you know, that migraine is just something else today. I'm telling you. Migraine says, I don't care about the birth of some kid to an irrelevant figurehead family, and I don't get why anyone else cares either. Well, you know what, migraine? Because we can. That's why we care. You know, everyone should be happy that a child is being born. Some people say you should be sad, but hey, a life is coming. So, migraine says celebs are worthless. Okay, well, we ain't talking about too many celebs, and we aren't British. Yeah, but the British did have a whole lot of influence on America. Contrary to what many may believe, you know, there was influence there. And today we have influence on each other, actually. So I don't know if you can really, that can really hold water to a certain extent. But anyway, we'll get talking about that in a little while. So without further ado, let's get to the quote of the day. You don't drown by falling in the water. You drown by staying there. And that's simple. You know, anybody can fall in water, you know, by mistake or, you know, just on purpose. But if you stay there, yes, you're going to drown. In other words, if you make a mistake, which everybody is going to make a mistake, nobody's perfect, you know, don't wallow in that mistake. Don't wallow in sorrow and self-pity and all that good stuff. Get your butt up and move on. Brush yourself off. That's right. Brush yourself. It's not as difficult sometimes as we make it. guest 1958. Thank you for joining us today. It's not as bad as you make it seem. You know, sometimes we end up drowning ourselves because once we fall in that water, we think it's deeper than what it actually is. One thing sometimes we have to do is just raise our head up. That's all we have to do. Just raise your head. As they say, you know, where the head goes, the body will follow. Let's figure that one out. Okay? So if you ever feel like you're falling in water, you know, don't stay there. You know, get up. Hey, grab a bar of soap. Wash yourself off. Get up. Dry yourself off and move on to the next thing. Because nobody's going to, everybody steps in a little water, falls into the water every now and then. It's just the way life is. It really is. Just the way life is. If it wasn't, then what fun would life be, right? Okay, that's my little backwards thinking. But anyway, that's the way I feel about it. I really do. You know, once again, the quote of the day, you don't drown by falling into the water. You drown by staying there. Hey. And they say normal person can fall in an inch of water and drown. That's right. But the only thing it took them, raise your head up. So deep, so deep, so deep. Anyway, and that was the quote of the day. All right. Now, the song of the day. Now, I'm telling y'all, man, I know some people say, you know, I have a one-way mind when it comes to music, which is I do not. No, I have a wide plethora of music that I love to hear. And, you know, I try and bring y'all that variety, you know, as for the songs of the day. But a lot of times I try and match the song of the day with what I'm talking about, the topic of the day. And this one here, I guess I can use any day because it is so true. And a lot of John Sam from Greece, what's up, man? How you doing? Welcome to the show. Hey, he drops in when he can. All right, but anyway, before we go, well, I get off script here. Let's go on, get on with the song of the day. Hey, we gonna like it. You can hum this song all day, all night, and guess what? It will never. It's never a song that can't be said can be used for any occasion. All right. So without further ado, y'all, here it is, Twisted Sister in the song of the day.
Yeah.
That's right, y'all. That's right, y'all. We're not going to take it anymore. We're no longer going to take this bull jive that they're trying to push down our throats. That's right, y'all. We're no longer going to take it. So I hope you're with me. We're not taking it. And that's a great way to start the week off, huh? That's a heck of a song of the day to start the week off. We're not going to take it anymore. They have dang-gone it tried to push it down our throats, all this nonsense, and we're not doing it anymore. That's right. All right. I got kind of hyped off that song now. We're not going to take it anymore. You know what? And if a lot of us actually live by that song, man, can you imagine how much better we would be? Well, I'm just putting it out there. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe. But either way, Vernon, what's going on, man? What's going on? All right. Anyway, once again, I want to welcome everybody to the show. If you want to join the conversation today, give me a call at 347-838-8622. And if you should happen to be a little shy and don't want to talk, call in. You can always join us in the chat room. What they have to do is just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Eric Jackson 62 and join the conversation there. Yeah, we have conversations there. And the conversation in the chat room is always stimulating because my brain is always in there doing something. Sometimes I have to wonder what my brain be up to. But you can join us there, man, and, you know, get your conversation on there also. Just feel free. We entertain all opinions and comments for the most part. All right. Now, if you go talking a little crazy, then, we may have to step in. But we don't have too much of that on the show, which is always a good thing, you know. Or you can send me an email at ericletstalk@gmail.com. I'm always getting those also so during the show. So if you want to send me something during the show, no problem. Send it to me. Hey, I'll look at it. If it's pertinent, well, I learned a new word today, y'all. If it's pertinent, I will go ahead and read it on air. Okay? All right. So those are the ways you participate in the show. Or you can just sit back, relax, and have a conversation with your peers. You know, put it on the speakers so everybody can hear, and y'all can conversate as we conversate. Hey, why not? Okay? All right. So, let's see. Over the weekend, we had quite a few things happen, y'all. We really did. We had President Obama making another statement on the Zimmerman trial, and Tavis Smiley, of course, the great Tavis, who's plastered all over BTR front page, putting his two cents in on what the president said, and sometimes, man, you make you wonder about them folk out there, you know. And we always talk about the crabs in the barrel. Oh boy, we got it bad, man. We got it bad. We really do. I have no idea who Tavis Smiles is. That's good. He's a black radio show host on PBS. He has his own show, and apparently he has a network on BTR now. And, he's a very active black man in the community. And, hey, Hood, what's going on? So that's who Tavis Smiley is. Of course, anytime the president says something, Tavis Smiley has something to say. I don't know why he does, but he always does. And, you know, it kind of lends me to the crabs in the barrel type of scenario. But it's okay. It's all right. It's all right. And, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about Detroit filing for bankruptcy. You know, but was Detroit filing for bankruptcy really such a surprise? Huh? Didn't we see that coming? Really? Did we not see that coming for Detroit? That's an interesting topic we'll be talking about also. You know, they filed for bankruptcy, but if you go back and look at the history, I think we saw that coming a little bit for those that were paying attention. And, well, I'll get to that in a minute. That's a little bit more than I'm going to say right now, but we'll get to that in a minute. All right? And, of course, I really, you know, once again, that damn House, the Congress, they voted for a 39th time, y'all, to repeal the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. 39th time. The 39th time. Really? Really? 39 times they have voted to what? To repeal Obamacare. But yet they never pass it. Why are they wasting my tax dollars on this thing? It's not going anywhere. It may not be as great as some people say, but it's still not going anywhere. Stop wasting my damn. We have more important things like student loan interest rates. You know, let's do something about that. You're supposed to be working on immigration. Let's do a budget for a change. Huh? Can we get something else besides you continuously trying to repeal Obamacare? Golly. Dang, just wasting my dang old money. I work hard for my money. I have worked hard for my money. Come on, let's do something right. Okay? Okay, all right. And, of course, you know, there's some children killed in India last week eating school lunch. And the reason why, because their food had very high toxic levels of pesticides on the food. Yeah, that's right. Very high. That's right, and it killed like 23 kids. Yeah, 23 kids, man. That's a lot of kids. That is a whole lot of children just from eating a school lunch. That was free. Can you imagine that? That was free. Now, you know, I know some people say, well, it's just India and they don't do this. They don't have the agricultural inspectors as we do in here in the United States. But let me tell y'all something. Let's wake up, because if we don't start watching what's going on with our food, somewhere it's going to happen here. Then everybody's going to be up in arms about it. Okay. So anyway, another one of the little topics we'll talk about today. And one other little hot thing. Some individuals believe that we are being governed under a new type of philosophy. And that philosophy is called critical race theory and critical race law. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that a little bit too. And, you know, what is the new philosophy and what's all about? And we're going to see if we're actually falling under into what they say we are beginning to fall under. All right. So with that being said, let's talk, y'all. Let's talk. President Obama says, well, he said he can relate to being profiled, followed around the store, and people being afraid of him. Now, that was out of his last statement he made on the Trayvon Martin case. Now, you know what, migraine crazy as heck. Migraine say pesticides are good for you, puts hair on your chest, and helps you develop a strong immune system. Yeah, but where are you doing all that at, migraine? Heaven or hell? I couldn't resist that one, y'all. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist that. Okay. Okay, I got my hearing back now. All right. Anyway, so President Obama says he can relate to being profiled, followed around a store, and people being afraid of him, mainly white women. So here's the question I want to ask about this statement. Does he finally get it, y'all? Does he finally have it? What really is going on out there in the black community? Did something just click in his brain and the light bulb went on to bring him back to reality and say, okay, look, it's like this. I need to stand up with my people now. I need to stand up. Is that what happened? Huh? Is that what happened? Did the light bulb finally go off in his head to say, I need to stand up for this and let it be known that this is not something that everybody is making up or imagining? Making up and imagining the same thing. I just had to put it that way. But anyway. Oh, Lord have mercy. But Mr. Tavis Smiley, you know, he's a very intelligent man. And he has a show here on Blog Talk, you know, a network, I guess. But it's interesting because he made an interesting comment on the Sunday morning talk shows about the president's statement. And it went something like this. I appreciate and applaud the fact that the president did finally show up, but this town has been spinning a story that's not altogether true. He did not walk to the podium for an impromptu address to the nation. He was pushed to that podium. A week of protests outside the White House, pressure building on him inside the White House, pushed him to that podium. So I'm glad he finally arrived. But when he left the podium, he still had not answered the most important question, that Keynesian question, where do we go from here? That question this morning remains unanswered, and at least from the perspective of the president. And the bottom line is, this is not Libya. This is America. On this issue, you cannot lead from behind. Now, that is what Travis Smiley had to say about President Obama's statement on that he can relate to being profiled and followed around stores, just like most black people can. Just like most black people can, you know. But does Tavis have a valid point here? Or did the president just really wake up and decide he was going to stand up for black men and the black community altogether? You know, is that something? Is that something? Now, before I go ahead and open up these phone lines, because I see they beginning to pop, I want to play a clip. Okay, from one of the talk shows, national talk shows on television, where a white man and the black guy was having a discussion. And listen to it. And then when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines and see what your responses are. Okay, so here's the clip. See y'all in a minute.
Dang, listen to me. I'm telling you about my experience. The president is telling you about his experience, and you're saying that we're not having that experience, and who are you to tell us we're not having that experience when you're not living it? You're not in our bodies. It's insulting for you to say, oh, that's not happening. How can you say that?
Well,
You don't live as a black man. You don't know that.
First of all, I don't think this is where you and I fundamentally disagree on this whole entire subject. You say that African-American men are feeling profiled by white women when they get into an elevator. And what I'm saying
is
this.
I'm not saying they're feeling profiled about getting into an elevator. That is just, we're sharing experiences with you. That's not the only way people are profiled.
But Don, this is what I'm saying to you is, there are a lot of other circumstances outside of that where women are just as fearful in that elevator or in that staircase, gripping their purse or locking their doors,
But chances are, Ben, that it's not going to happen with a white guy. I've been with plenty of white guys on elevators white guys get on elevators with women and nothing happens.
Do you think most white women are afraid of any black man in America?
I asked the white women on my staff before this, and they said generally they think that most white women are more afraid of African-American men. No, that's not what I said. I'm telling you my experience as an African-American man. So I told you, I asked the women on my staff, and they said generally they think that most white women are fearful of black men, and they're taught to be that way, especially white women in suburban areas. And that's the experience from white women on my staff. So go ask a few and see what they say to you.
Well, Don, I've grown up my entire life in a community where I was, in fact, a minority. I've also grown up where my father was in law enforcement. I've also been the victim of a gun crime.
We have to wrap. My producer
will
tell me we don't have time. Go ahead.
Well, what I'll say is this. I have been profiled, and the police told me I was profiled, but I don't assume that every African-American man, even though two of them shot at me from point-blank range, are out to kill me. And I think that's an overgeneralization to put it in race in such a simple term that paranoia of white people in America is the point where every black man is a suspect.
It's not paranoia. Ben, simply just from a place of, I want to say, it's not entitlement. But you're at a place in society.
Well, I came from poverty, so I don't think I'm entitled.
Yeah, but it's still you still have a certain entitlement as a white person that many people of color don't have. You don't see that?
When I look at where I grew up, and I grew up in a community surrounded by poverty, and I was a minority, I don't think I had any extra advantage.
Scratch that. I should say a place of privilege. I'll wrap, producers. Hang on. I should say a place of privilege, not necessarily a place of entitlement. And you're filtering it through a place of privilege that you don't understand. Your privilege does not allow you to see certain biases in certain circumstances in society. And what I said on the
well,
air
Don,
yesterday.
Don, I have to say
let
this.
Me finish. Let me finish. What I said on the air yesterday is that I hoped that you would sleep on it and at least think about it before having a knee-jerk reaction to what the president was saying, the most powerful African-American in the world, telling you that there is an issue, and you're telling him that his circumstances and what he sees and what he lives is not valid. And that's what you're saying.
Well, I didn't have a knee-jerk reaction because I've been talking about race the majority of my life, coming from a very racially diverse community in Memphis, Tennessee. So this wasn't knee-jerk. My point was this. When you say and you
immediately
walk out there and
you immediately responded to the president.
You
immediately responded to the president without even thinking. You didn't even give it 5 minutes. You didn't even give it overnight.
Done.
You
done.
Immediately responded through your filter, and you didn't wait and say, well,
done.
Let me think about this.
Don, it was more, first of all, it was more than an hour since the president spoke when I made my comments.
Wow, I tell you, wasn't that an exchange or what? That was on the Don Lemon show, and him and one of his guests really got into that. And I'm not going to lie to you, man. After listening to that, I was like, okay, kind of helps me understand. They just don't get it. That's the bottom line. They just do not get it. Well, okay, so when I'm opening that, let me go ahead and open up these phone lines. We're going to bring Ebony in and 111. We're going to bring both of them in at the same time. All right, Ebony and Joe, y'all on the air. Welcome to the show. How was your weekend? What y'all think about
hey,
the
clip Eric,
what
how
I
you
said
doing?
So
hey,
far?
Hey, Ebony, how are you?
Hi, how you guys? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
Hi,
good,
Joe.
Good.
Hi, sweetie.
You okay?
So what's going on?
Yeah, I'm okay.
What's going on? Yeah, he's awake. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's true. I'm also in a different room of the house. This way I won't go to sleep. So.
Oh, okay. That's a good thing. So what do you think about what I've been talking about? Well, I know everybody's been listening. Joe, basically what I'm talking about is President Obama's statement that, you know, he can relate to being profiled, followed around a store, you know, people being afraid of him. And my questions were, you know, did he finally get it? Did the light bulb finally go off in his brain and that he needed to stand up for, you know, for this cause? And was Tavis Smiley right by saying that he didn't do it on his own? He basically was pushed into this because of pressure from outside the White House and inside the White House, you know. Was he basically standing up for black men in the black community? So that's the question.
I think he was probably standing up for the black community, but I probably agree with Tavis that he was probably pressured into it. He's already been criticized for making a couple of personal viewpoints. So, and I don't know if a president, it's good, I guess, that a president does have personal feelings about certain matters, but then when is it going to stop? Because so many personal matters occur every day in America. After a while, those that he does not choose to comment about, he'll be criticized for. So I think it's probably good for a president just to keep his mouth shut on just about everything that's personal and just go out after national policies. Even though he may have personal feelings, because, again, if you have thousands of personal issues on the news every day, anyone that he comments about, he'd be criticized for, and this goes for any president, and any issues that he doesn't comment about, he'll be criticized for. So it's better for him to shut up and just let the news do its thing, let him take care of the nation.
Interesting. What do you think about that, Ebony?
Well, you know, I think he's in a difficult position. Is that Joe's phone that's so noisy?
Yeah, that's Joe's phone.
Oh, Lord.
Good freaking God. You know, I can't do a damn thing. Well, somebody always
down.
Saying Joe at the beginning of the show.
Well,
that's the end of the
well, everybody mentioned
it. Well, it's true. Come on, get it in control, man. Fix it up.
That's right.
She's in a good mood today. You know, she must have gotten enough sleep. Okay.
Well, she got something, but anyway.
Is the noise unbearable? Because doesn't seem to me like, wait a minute, let me hear my
Okay, you good, Joe. You good now.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
You good now.
Well,
you're a lot better than you were. Okay.
I hope your weekend was great, Ebony.
I had a fantastic weekend.
Good. Hope everything.
I had lots of sex. So I'm happy. Okay.
I wasn't even going to go there, but now that you opened up the door, it's not closing.
Okay.
I just wanted to make you happy. Okay.
Are you having sex?
Okay, look. Can we get back to talk about the president, okay?
Okay. So what I was going to say was that I think he's in a difficult position. But I think, although this isn't a national situation and people might find it quite personal, it's not something that he can treat as personal, because you have so many people protesting all over the country, your country. So, you know, if he's half blind or he has to pretend that he's deaf too, if he cannot hear and see around him that there are a lot of people that are unhappy and the country severely separated, some people very much on one side, some people on the other. So I think it makes sense for him to speak up. I don't know about whether Travis, who I think is gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, I don't know if Travis chose the right time to be criticizing him and saying, well, okay, you know, he's been pushed. Well, do you know if he was pushed? Do you know if pushed inside and outside? That's your opinion. I don't agree with Travis on this one. I actually think he may have felt that, you know, given the kind of child which has been very public, and the strength of feeling in his community, and I'm talking about the black community, when I say his community, the black community, that he needed to stand up. And yes, he needs to lead from the bloody front. I think it's about time too. And I'd love to hear more from him. I'm not saying he needs to be siding, with anybody in particular, but I think he needs to come out and express what he feels, and I'm happy to hear it.
Okay. Well, thank you. Now, here's the question. As a black African American, a black man, you know, as they say, the leader of the free world, you know, if he can relate to this, can he put a little bit more, insight into what's really going on out there, you know, by getting out there and putting a little personalization into it? I mean, you know, I can see if he could not relate to what's going on now. But he said it himself, you know, and I'm sure he has, being in Chicago and wherever, that he's been profiled. He's, you know, walked by a car door, the car door is automatically locked. Trust me, I've seen it too, and I find it quite funny. Sometimes I do it on purpose to see if it's going to happen. But, you know, I think it's a good thing. I think he finally had the light bulb did finally go off to, you know, he realized that, yeah, I need to stand up for something. And you're right, Ebony, it's about time he needs to take the lead in this thing and get some things done. It's not like he has to worry about re-election or anything like that. You understand what I'm saying? So stand up and do what you need to do. Now, hold on, I got another caller want to come in. But that's the, you know, that's the gist of how I feel about it. All right, 111, okay. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, Maze. How are you doing?
I'm just marvelous.
Oh, that's
Hi, Maze.
Hello.
Hi, Maze.
Ebony.
Hi.
Can I put my spin on what I think?
Well, you
now,
always
Travis,
do.
Yeah, I want Travis Miley to come on with that book that he had before the president ever stepped in office that he'd been parading around. When we had other presidents, I didn't see no plan work, nothing he did yet. And he got the nerve to talk about some other man when he was the one having what on TV every year, and what came out of it.
Well, okay.
Have you seen the plan?
Huh?
Okay.
Just bought a book, and that was it.
Well,
he's mad now because he can't make no money. That's his problem.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you.
So. With the president.
No, I don't do that to Travis. I think
that's
he,
all
I
it
think.
Is.
Oh, no, no, no. I wouldn't hate on him that way.
I'm not hating on him. I'm just, Ebony, I'm just telling you like it is. Because Tavis did a TV show every year to bring the black community together to do stuff. Those books are sitting on the shelf gathering dust. He can't make any money.
I mean, but is that Tavis' fault, or is it the fact that people. That we still are living under that crab in a barrel mentality?
Well, maybe that's what it comes to the same.
And that's my point. I was trying to see, was this an example of that philosophy, crab in a barrel? You know, the president came out, said, look, I can relate to this, and this is how I feel, and this is what happened. And with him making his statement, you know, where he was pushed, you know, why did he have to come out and say something like that?
How do we know he was pushed? Maybe it's something with the time to say it. Can I speak about the president now, Mr. Paul?
Of course he was pushed.
Joe,
he hasn't said anything.
I'm going to give you your part in a few minutes. But what he said, none of it is true. It's all true what he said, right? Hmm. Black men have to go through this every day. The question is, why should they have to go through that? I'm asking Joe, why should you have to go through it? Why should people have to go through that? Because people are assuming. Grabbing their purses, locking their doors, and looking
because
at you like you stole something if you walk in the
store. You already know the answer. People
or if you write a check, they gotta question your check, but not the check, the person in front of you. So why
already
is it, are those the people that's the problem?
Maze, you talk yourself out of your own argument. The whole thing
I
already told
you. I'm asking you why.
Okay, I gave you the answer, but you were too busy talking. I don't know if I've said on this show, but I've said on various shows, and you probably have been there, that white people don't like black people. Plain and simple as that. So I want you
to explain that one to me. I don't understand myself. And black people got a lot of white people in their family. They get along well.
Let me know when you finish talking.
I'm listening.
All right.
Wow, that was a true statement. Go ahead.
White people have an inferiority complex that they need to overcome by developing a superiority complex by looking down on black people. That, in a nutshell, is something like worth 20,000 volumes of psychology, Freud, Jung, Adler, et al. That's why.
And whose fault is that? It's not the president's fault because they feel that way.
So who said it was?
Well, that's why you act like it's his fault because they feel that way.
I said it's his fault, I implied. You know, you remind me of Michael.
That's nice. I remind you of Michael, not everybody else.
You remind me of Michael, like I said.
And you remind me of Sean Hannity.
Well, I'm no. Sean Hannity is.
We'll leave it at
okay,
that.
Can
we
get back to what we were talking about, please?
Oh my God.
Can we get back to what we were talking
about?
Okay,
yeah, please. Because now we have one woman come on. She was sleeping nicely, had sex all this weekend. Now we got another woman coming on, and she's blaming me for Sean Hannity's points of view. So I think maybe we should go back to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You said you remind me of Michael. I just told you remind me of
Portman.
And let's keep it on the point because the last time I called into your show, Joe was bitching about someone. Now, no bitching tonight, please, guys. Please, I want to hear you bitching about other people. It would make you very sexy. Come on, keep it keep it on point.
That's not today's conversation that should be had. Joe explained why they are afraid of black people. I'm trying to get an understanding of you.
I explained it to you in a very succinct nutshell, which makes complete sense.
But is it a reason? Huh? I mean, does it make any sense for them to feel that way?
Of course it makes sense.
Why?
What did I say? Repeat back to me what I said and then see if it doesn't make sense.
You said they got an inferiority of black people. That they are afraid of black people. I'm asking you, are you one? Are you afraid of us?
No, I didn't say that.
Well,
so you can answer the question for them.
Let me bring somebody else in who can have a comment. All right, Miss Lady, you on the air.
Hello.
Hello,
lady.
Hi,
lady.
Hello.
This is going to be news because I'm glad to hear her today as opposed to these two.
I'm quite sure you are. We want you to get rid of your ears.
Oh, is Sean Kennedy on the phone?
Yeah.
But you know what? Joe's actually right. He's actually, I have to just go ahead and be honest about he's right. So then the thing is, what do you do about it? You know, how do you manage your life given that that's true? Any response to that, John?
Well, I'm kind of, well, I have been shocked the past few times when you've agreed with me, but even now I'm kind of like shocked. Yeah, but let me clarify, just in case, you know, people weren't listening.
Yeah.
So what I said was, was that white...
We're going to call you Sean from now
on. Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. White people, there's a great divide between white people and black people. White people don't see black people's point of view, and black people don't see white people's point of view. Why there is this divide is that people have to have scapegoats. For the white people, it's blacks. For the blacks, it's Hispanics, Puerto Ricans, people from other countries. Everybody has to have a scapegoat. Now,
okay,
the reason,
all right. Who's making all that noise?
What the hell?
It's always
Miss
Lady.
Lady.
Sorry. Oh, so
Miss Lady.
Oh, man. Okay. Whites need to feel superior in order to bolster their inferiority complex. So they do it by looking down on, guess who? The Chinese, back during the when they were called coolies, when they were working on the railroad, and on blacks. It has been sustained more and longer against blacks than anybody else. I think that explains it. If people don't get it, I'm not explaining it again. Too
well,
freaking bad.
You don't have to explain that. What should you do about
but
it? Not
point,
explain it.
I think the question that Travis asked, which was a great question, was where do we go from here? And what is the question that the president didn't answer was, what do you do about it? Where do you go from here? I don't think Joe can answer it.
I have
but
answered
I think
that.
I'm saying where
I didn't answer it today, but I've answered it before.
You know what? Actually, I think the first step was to acknowledge that it does exist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he answered it in the end when he talked about the children. They are better than we were at getting along and doing things together. That's what's the end of it. But you still got those that want to stop things.
And I have given my answer on other shows about what is to be done. But,
I think as well that Obama said, most importantly, people read the whole of the transcript. He actually said that he wanted to see the laws changed or looked at least, especially the stand your ground, that it be reviewed and people have a look at, you know, whether this law should still exist. And I think that's part of the solution.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing about the standing ground law. Because I was listening to a show over the weekend, and they actually had the legislature there that actually came up with the Stand Your Ground law, and he has said himself that the way it's being used now was not the way it was intended to be used.
Yes,
yeah,
sure did say
that. Was not the way. Yeah, you know, it has fallen upon the interpretation of individuals how they interpret the law. So maybe it needs to be reviewed. Maybe not just completely taken away, but it needs to be reviewed and maybe worded differently maybe. But I think it just right now everybody's in an uproar about it. So, of course, you know, everybody wants to take these gigantic grand stands, you know, saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to boycott this. We're going to boycott. But nobody has taken the time to sit back and really research it and find out exactly what the law itself was originally meant to be. So that's just my putting on it. But, you know
what?
Yeah,
I guess whatever it was meant to be, how
it's
being.
The law should be equal among people, but the law is not equal among
exactly.
people. That's
you know, it
what's
was
wrong
meant,
with the country.
It was actually meant to be like
not
only that law. Really self-defense for everybody. But, of course, you know, you can
and
be taken
you know
and twisted.
That in Florida,
but not only
black
that law,
Floridians have used the self-defense and stand your ground law three times as much as whites. They've been acquitted. Black Floridians. Black people
yeah, right.
in Florida
mm-hmm.
have
mm-hmm.
used that law and been acquitted as a result of that law three times as often as whites.
And who was
well,
doing
it?
It
might be true because there's probably a lot more crime in the area for black people live and work.
Well,
you
know what?
It don't apply.
Look, okay.
You would expect but, that because there's probably a lot more crime in the areas that black people live and work.
But no, what Joe said that
there's probably a more potential for violence. I'm saying,
well, there is a greater percentage of violence.
But Mr. Talk,
sure,
it's
the
like
thing
if they lose, if they use the law, they was arrested for it. Zimmerman was never arrested for it. He was let go.
What do you mean he was never arrested for it?
He was never arrested in the beginning for standing your ground.
So we're not going to go into the, to the case.
I'm about to say this,
and then we're going to move on to the next topic, okay? Well, the next part of this
maybe we'll
topic
talk about
here.
Sex. That way Maze
no.
We don't want to talk about no sex.
Anyway, look, it's like, shoot, y'all made me lose my train of thought now. Y'all talking so crazy.
Talk about the laws on the books are not equal for everybody in this country.
Really, oh, I know
what
I was about to say.
Crazy.
Look, it's like this. Florida finna have another case come up, okay? Mm-hmm. There's another case that's coming up where a young man was shot sitting in the back of the truck, Davis. I think his last name is Davis. So it's going to be another type of, trial that's going to garner a lot of attention.
Yeah,
so we're just waiting to see.
The
guy was that's the claim that the guy's trying to make, really.
Stand
you know,
your ground. Excuse me, somebody in the back of a truck. I know nothing about the case, so I'll just investigate.
Well, see,
it was
at a gas station. There was some kids in the gas station and some black kids. Some of them went in the store, other was pumping gas, and, you know, the music was playing loud. So the guy walked up to him and said, can you turn the music down? Of course, you know, they looked at him like, whatever. So he walked back to his car, got his gun, and fired into the vehicle. Well, he hit one and killed one of the young black men. And then he got in his car and drove off back to his hotel, you know, ordered some pizza, and, you know, act like nothing happened.
But he had no business in the
but
he
felt his life was in danger. So,
that's not going to fly.
But anyway,
this is what
I wanted to get to. As far as race, you know, a lot of people say, remember I mentioned critical race theory and critical race law last Friday? Well, I looked it up because, you know, a lot of people say that is kind of what the country is going to now.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked it up, and this is what it basically says, that critical race theory recognizes that racism is ingrained in the fabric and system of the American society. The individual racist need not exist to note that institutional racism is pervasive in the dominant culture. This is the analytical lens that critical race theory uses in examining existing power structures, and it identifies that these power structures are based on white privilege and white supremacy, which perpetrates the marginalization of people of color. So, what you think about that?
That is right. It's right on time. And that's what's wrong with America.
That's wrong with America right there?
That's what's wrong with America right now. Because the laws do not fit everybody in the book. Some get away, some don't.
Hmm.
The laws fit everybody.
We don't even have the same voting rights as everybody else got.
Oh, for good God's sake.
So, whose system did that? We didn't do it.
I'm freaking real.
Now, you freaking real, and
I'm
I am too.
Freaking real.
But you got to face the fact that that's what's going on. But if you can't face that fact, you're going to always be in the light side of stuff.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Not looking at it. Now, that's the conversation that needs to be had.
It's also said that it has two common themes. First, it proposes that white supremacy and racial power are maintained over time, and in particular, that the law may play a role in this process. The second theme is work has investigated the possibility of transforming the relationship between law and racial power, and more broadly pursues a project of achieving racial emancipation and anti-subordination. So, does that resonate with anybody?
Yeah.
Does it?
Well,
hello?
Women on the line, does it?
I don't know.
Is that true or false? It's true.
It's true?
Is it true?
Okay.
To a T. The people that make the laws break the laws, but it don't matter.
Well, okay.
Oh, good, quiet. Oh, thank God.
Oh, Lord.
I know you want me to be quiet, but I'm not
going to
be.
Harmony. Something women don't understand. Okay.
It's like when you tell people the truth hurts, you just take the pain and get over it, and it'll make you a better person.
Well, good, Maze. I'm hoping that you don't have to suffer too much more pain.
I'm not suffering.
Good.
Because I don't see nothing over supreme over me. It's up to the person that got me breathing.
That's good.
Oh, Lord.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Wow.
It's just like I
you
told
know,
you, Joe.
I think when you two get old.
Let me tell you something.
I'm not involved in anybody's discussion, but my name always
I'm gonna
pops
tell you
up.
Something. I'm going to tell you something that you don't know.
Okay.
Both of my great-great-grandfathers were white.
Okay, that's cool.
There's white people in my family, so that's why I can understand what. They don't even agree with the things that they're listening and looking at.
Okay. Because
once upon a time, they couldn't even exist.
Right.
But they do now.
Good.
And that's what the world is turning back around to.
Yes.
And that's just like I said, they're not going to sit and watch people shoot their children now.
No.
Anymore. And so it came to a road that's going to stop, and it's going to be short, and it's going to be over.
And don't forget to mention my name at the end of your sentence.
Now, do you get that, Joe?
There you go.
Now,
wow.
I just explained it to you point blank.
There you go.
Now, could you turn around and tell me that same thing, and I'm saying why people clutch their purses and lock their doors and treat mistreat
you
at the
country? I told you, but if you don't want to listen, that's not my problem.
I just told you what's going to be done about it, and people don't like to see it. People don't like to see the ending of things.
It's going
to
be seen and done.
His name was Hannity.
Say what?
What?
Didn't you say his name was Hannity?
Yeah, Hannity, yes.
Yeah,
Sean Hannity.
Hannity, and she put me in the same sense with Hannity.
I'm going to put you with Hannity and Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to the next topic. I guess we don't beat that one as much as we can.
Yeah,
I just thought, I thought it was a good thing the president came out and said what he said. Whether he was pushed or not, I think it's good he's finally decided to make a stand on something, you know, regarding this thing.
Well, maybe we can talk about something which the ladies can learn from, like sex.
We don't want to talk about sex.
Okay,
you want to cover up in a blanket. We don't want to talk about sex.
Hello.
No, we
hello.
Don't, because if we
that's
do,
talk
Joe
we
has
don't
no...
Have
Joe doesn't do it.
Look,
yeah.
Why no, wait. We're not talking about no dang on sex, okay? don't make me hit that switch, y'all, now. I'm trying to be good, but y'all getting kind of scared away.
We need to talk about what's going in this country and got it the way it
now,
is.
Let's talk about the city of Detroit filing for bankruptcy. You know, and here's the thing. Was this overdue, and was it really needed? Can Detroit recover? You know, it did. And the bigger question is this an example of where America is headed?
America's there.
Mr. Talk, I want to know the resources that's up under the ground in Detroit. Is there any oil up under the ground?
Right now Detroit don't have anything.
Okay. We won't know that until they
Detroit was a booming city. Yeah, well, Detroit was a booming city, but it's like when the plant started closing down and everything, they kind of started heading in the bad direction. But it was more, I think it was more from corruption from within, you know, than anything. You know, between Kilpatrick, Kwame Kilpatrick, and the police chief stealing money and the school board spending unnecessary money. How did it get this far? In March, the state took over and put in a guy named Orr, put him in to manage it, emergency manager, and he had no choice but to file for bankruptcy, which is quite interesting. But, you know, I'm looking at this, is this the model that is saying if America, the country doesn't get together, is the same thing is going to happen? And should the government bail Detroit out?
Yes, they should. And Mr. Talk,
have you been
to Detroit lately?
No, I haven't been to Detroit
lately. Detroit Resources is outside the city. When they left, the people left, they took everything with them. If you going to have some water, some plant, and then if they took the water for you to water your plant, well, what is it going to do, wither or rice? And then if they want the oil that's up under the ground,
they're going to make the city... Who took the water?
I'm saying is if you had a plant and you lived in the city and you didn't have any water to water your plant with, what would it do?
Well, it's going
to
die.
They took the resource. You go 10. You can go 20 minutes.
Wait a minute.
Not even 20 minutes outside Detroit. It's like a whole different city.
Is
Who is they?
Can I give Major a speeding ticket?
Can I ask a question?
You came on comments.
Wasn't Detroit basically the automobile industry was there?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So when you have billions of dollars leave the city, it's not in that, and there's nothing to replace it. It's going to go down. Even if the politicians did grieve calms and they did do some unsavory things, that would not have been enough to cause the bankruptcy in the city. It's, you don't have a tax base if you don't have
nothing. It's nothing there. Because if they don't have any resources, what are they going to buy? They want to buy. They want to buy. They want to purchase stuff. What are they going to purchase if Detroit don't have anything? It's the land.
I mean, that's done in cities. Well, you know, quid pro quo. You know, developers get the business. You know, politicians' campaigns get funded. That, you know, that's nothing new. But I mean, if you don't have a tax base because you don't have employment, then you can expect
you
don't
know,
have anything.
Okay. All right. You know, everybody. Yeah. That's the normal, old, regular, routine, status quo answer. You know, we got jobs missing. But what about? You know, this is not something that just happened overnight.
The reality is this has
been going on for a minute. This hasn't just
been going on for 30 years.
My question is, why did it have to get this bad? Why did it have to get this bad before any attention?
It's the most cities that filed bankruptcy too, but they didn't make a big deal out of it. California owe more money than Michigan do.
Go ahead, Joe.
One word is corruption, which is pervasive throughout all of the areas.
You know what? I'm going to be honest.
Is your name Joe, lady?
No, hold on. I just want to
hold on. Hold on. Whoa.
Hold on, Joe.
Wait, lady.
No, because you know what? You're just counting what
I said. Joe, I was given an answer. So, did you, hold on for a second. Thank you very much. There's the thing.
So I'm going to go, just like that, because you know what? You're being disrespectful.
You
Mr. Talk is also discounting a lot of every things I'm saying, which are on point, and I know that they are. So,
but you can wait, lady. He said Joe. That means I go, and
then you can
go. That doesn't mean you can jump in there. That means you can wait. All right, so here I am. I'm going to go, and you can talk.
Everybody. Okay, wait a minute. I can stop this.
Bye.
I can stop this. Okay. All right, y'all. I don't know. It must have been a good weekend because everybody got energy today. Wow. Woo. Okay. Well, all right. We're going to try this again. We're going to do this one more again. Man, I tell you, I'm loving y'all today, but y'all got me going. All right, Mr. Joe, go ahead.
Okay. The thing is that corruption is pervasive in all of the areas, in all of the states, all of the cities in the United States and throughout the world. Here's how it works. Lady was right. You're right. Because, again, it's pervasive throughout all the different cogs of the wheel. When you have some, I think Detroit's in arrears for something like, I don't know, either $18 billion or $180 billion, I forget which. It can't have gone that far. How much is it?
18 to 23 billion.
That
mm-hmm.
means they don't have enough money to pay for their programs.
Right.
In order for them to have enough money to pay for the programs, they would have to tax people. The thing is, every state, every city, they keep offering programs to people. And people say, yeah, we want these programs. But people don't know about economics.
Mm.
They don't realize, and this happens to go with the Mays types and the Alpha
types.
So
it happens to go with
the
Wall Street people.
That
it go with
types.
The Wall Street people. Don't put it
when,
on me.
Yeah, the Wall Street types too. Is that when you have money, when programs, social programs are being offered, such as Wall Street bailouts or welfare, it has to be paid. The piper has to be paid its due. How is it getting paid? It has to get paid by taxes. This is why
base.
Detroit is going broke, because the manufacturing base, that's left the city. As you were talking about, Eric, corrupt politicians, waste, fraud, and they've offered social programs, which they shouldn't have offered, which meant they would have had to raise the taxes. If they didn't want to raise the taxes, that means they would have had to borrow more, which is what they did, which they can't pay back, which is why they're in bankruptcy. It's one
not
word,
to mention the
it's corruption.
not to mention the $300,000 they had to pay out in lawsuits alone. But hold on, I want to play this clip from the Bill O'Reilly show, and y'all tell me what you think when we get back.
Now we don't. Because he's definitely not standing up for the folks in Detroit. As you may know, the Detroit public school system is a shambles. Only about 35% of the students graduate from high school. Of those, only 5% are ready to do college academic work. 5%. President Obama's solution, give the Detroit public school system $530 million of taxpayer money. Another let's spend our way out of the problem scenario. But here's the real problem. Audits have shown about 54 million tax dollars are missing or have been misspent by Detroit public school officials. In the past 4 years, three superintendents have been fired. 18 of the 19 schools are on the failure list, according to test scores. And we want to throw $500 million into that system? Last year, the Detroit public school system amassed a colossal $200 million deficit, largely because there's no school tax base in Detroit. Anyone who had any money moved out of there. But President Obama, again, wants to move in $530 million. Talking Point says no. No to AIG. No to the Detroit school chaos. If Obama wants to fix the schools in Motown, the feds have to run the system. The feds have to take it over. Because the locals obviously can't be trusted with the money, Mr. President. Clear? Are we clear? Now, it's easy for Barack Obama or any other politician to say he wants to help the kids learn. But it's hard to tell the truth about why they're not learning. The Detroit public schools are chaotic, violent. Many of the kids there are unsupervised at home and have no learning curve at all. Money isn't going to solve that problem. Discipline and honesty might mitigate it, but with derelict parents, it's just about impossible to impose academic skills. President Obama continues to simply throw money at complicated problems. He will bankrupt the USA, and we will all suffer greatly. Honesty and accountability is required, not rampant government spending. And that's the truth. That's the memo.
All right. So that was Bill O'Reilly.
Can I speak?
Yes.
We both are listening to what Bill O'Reilly got to say. He's part of the problem of America, too. But if the country was almost bankrupt when the president got there, so how are he going to tell somebody going to bankrupt? And we bids are giving money to corporations
Look, listen to, did you hear what the man said?
I heard what he said.
So did you really? Because what you're talking about right now has no credence to
it. Yes, it does. Because Bill O'Reilly's friends is the one that almost broke the country. So he's just as bad as the school system. He's talking about the money that he's talking about. His friends that he worked for. We had to bail them out. Not we had to bail the school system out. We had to bail them out in order to keep them rolling. That's why the country's in the midst of seeing today.
Let me ask you a question.
What is that question?
If all the money that we spent on the bailouts, if all the money that you would like to have spent on schools and housing and food, if that was all spent and on the war, if we redirected all of that money, take it away from everything that you think was bad, and redirected all that money towards programs that you think is good, do you think America would be in a better place today?
It sure would be.
It sure would
America
be.
Wouldn't. Nobody would have owned half of America in the first place. Because America
would
not own half of it. America's land was never supposed to be sold to nobody.
That's not answering the question. Why do you think that?
That's not
answering
the question. If they didn't sell it,
my question was, if the trillions of dollars that went into Iraq and Afghanistan and went into Wall Street bailouts, welfare, corporate welfare, individual wealth, well, you would still want individual welfare. But do you think that if all that money was redirected into the programs that you personally selected on housing and school and food, that America would be better off?
No, not housing and school and food. It would be jobs, housing, schools, and food. Not an empty city that you don't empty out the Chamber of Commerce. You want to look at the mayors and
but
stuff
you don't want the money to
but
be spent. Do you want the money to be sent? Do you want the money to be sent to Detroit?
Everybody hold on for a moment. Hold on for a minute. Now, Mace, you keep saying they emptied out the Chamber of Commerce. Who emptied
I said the Chamber of Commerce runs everything. Not the mayor.
Runs what?
They got to get paid through somebody. And that's the Chamber of Commerce that ran Detroit down the hill when everybody looking at the mayor. The mayor has to get their amen from the Chamber of Commerce.
Look, Mace, look. You know what ran Detroit down? Because the mayor's office Chamber of Commerce, the City Council, all them were running with no guidance, no control, no nothing. They could do whatever the hell they wanted to, and nobody said a thing. Nothing.
And what was and that's what I'm saying. Detroit
and
is not
so
only in the place. They got the same problem.
Who the hell is they? This was done from within. Nobody outside came and did that to Detroit. This was done to them. They did this to themselves. But my question is, like I asked before, should the government come and bail them out and help them get back on their feet?
Yes, they should.
Why?
All right.
Why
so,
shouldn't they?
If we already have a president that said, if we give you this money, you're going to use it for whatever except for what we give it to you for, why would I give you more money then? Shouldn't we allow them to get themselves out of this hole that it took them 40 years to put themselves in?
Should you allow them? Did we allow anybody else to do that?
That's not answering the question, though.
It is answering the question.
No,
but
you're answering the question.
Detroit is not the only broke place.
What's the answer?
Huh?
Because you got them stealing from every state.
Well, that's the whole thing. If a corruption
that's
is
that
pervasive.
That's what I'm saying. So if you want to look at Detroit, let's look at everybody.
No kidding.
Detroit,
but
that
you're,
well,
you
Detroit,
want,
Detroit is filing bankruptcy right now. So that's who we're looking at right now.
It's a place in Oklahoma. I filed bankruptcy 6 months ago. I was telling y'all about
No municipality as big as Detroit has ever filed Chapter 9, okay? So that's what we're talking about now, Mace. We ain't talking about nowhere in Oklahoma. We ain't talking about in California. We're not talking about in Florida. We're not talking about in Texas. We're talking Detroit, Michigan.
Are they going to pay the money back like Wall Street did when they
first you got to...
Shouldn't that be to where they have to pay it back?
Yeah, they should be where they have to pay it back.
Thank you. But what's going to be the problem if they got to pay it back?
Mace, where are you at? What the hell are you talking about
now? I'm with you. That's what I'm talking about. You can send other countries money to keep them on their feet. Why not Detroit to keep them back on their feet?
Oh,
but that's
okay.
Not Detroit's problem is what I'm trying to tell you.
I think you've been drinking today.
They want Detroit's land so they can put them oil pipes up under there and get the resources.
Yeah, that,
oh,
yeah, that thing. That where you were going with that, you had a conspiracy theory, I bet, is that there's oil under
Detroit. I ain't got no conspiracy theory.
And that you probably think that the federal government wants to come in and drill Detroit for oil. Is that your theory?
That's what I'm saying. That's why you're moving everything out of the inner city because you want to get what's there. Because if what's there, you're
moving everything out? Really?
Yeah. Tearing houses down and all this kind of stuff.
Maze, they haven't told... Man.
I asked you when the last time you've been to Detroit.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
They
have over 100,000...
It
looks like a whole different city.
Yeah, because the same people that lived there took the resource with them outside, and them same crooks is next door.
Uh-huh.
Look, I'm going to tell you, it's a documentary on Detroit called DeForce, DeForce. Y'all need to look at that documentary, and what Mace is talking about right now, no. I'm telling you, it's amazing. You know, but no, Mace, what Detroit was a very industrialized city. You know, at one point, you know, they were the leaders in, some kind of cars. We know cars for sure, but shipping, metal, and all that good stuff. And as that left, you know, the crooks came in instead of trying to build up. Well, the one mayor, what's his name? Y'all know who I'm talking about, not Kwame.
Not Barry, right?
No, Coleman Young came in and tried
Barry
to clean it up.
Barry wants DC, he don't run Detroit.
Yeah, well, Coleman Young came in and tried to do a little bit in the 70s and what have you, but it just didn't work out because you still had those dang-on crooks, you know, in places. And Kwame came in, and he was stealing so bad, it wasn't even nice. He even had his own family members in positions in the city to where when the city did get grant money, they made it so they could pay themselves, get the grant money
for
themselves.
How much did they steal?
Oh, they stole a whole lot.
How much of his trial they say he stole or why he go to prison?
What?
How much money did they say he had stole to go to prison?
Well, Kwame?
Yes.
Well, within the first 33 months, he had put $210,000 worth of charges on the city credit card, and the $50,000 of that was for personal expenditures. $50,000 of
that. That's what he went to prison for. I didn't know he went to prison for breaking Detroit.
Yeah, him and his family.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, personally, hell no, I wouldn't let them no money. I let them, just like they got themselves in, they have to figure out how to get themselves out.
Yeah,
you know,
everybody
the state,
has to do
in fact, in March, like I said before, in March, the state brought in an emergency manager, you know, who's, you know, was supposed to help straighten it up. And Detroit was on like the state was running them anyway, except for they was under contract, some special contract. And they could even meet the requirements for that. So that's when the state came in March, and they still couldn't do it. So now they're filing for bankruptcy. So how can, and this is what I'm saying, with all this going on, if we take a look at the big picture, is America headed toward this that same
it's already there.
Place?
America's already
and
in
Joe
there.
Joe says we
America
already there.
America been there. America been there. When they sold land, when they sold land in America, it's been there.
When they sold
because America
land
is
in
owned
America.
By somebody else. That's what I
well,
think.
Who they sold China, land in America
I don't know
too. What America?
About.
China owns some parts of it. And ain't no telling who else owns some. Just like in Dallas. You might be sitting in a house. The house might be yours, but not the land, because they got oil up under there. I got a friend that lives in Dallas today. He can't even own oil up under his house.
Well, then, of course not, because the government is that corrupt.
So what does that tell you?
What'd you say?
You can look it up and you can see it for yourself.
Okay. So people living in houses in Dallas, they got oil under it, so they can own the house, but they can't own the land under it.
They don't own it because they sold it.
Who sold it?
The people that live in the house. They can live in the house, but the land is not, the oil is not there, it's up under the house.
So wait a minute. So you're
him,
talking,
I wouldn't have
what
sold
you're
them
saying
nothing.
Is, what you're saying is, this was an arrangement that was made after they bought and put the house on the land.
When they found oil was up under there.
Okay, so it was an arrangement made after they... Mace, listen.
Mm-hmm.
It was an arrangement. They sold the land after they bought and put their house on the land.
They didn't know oil was up under there at the time.
Okay, so why would you sell the land then?
Because the people bought it from them. I said I wouldn't have sold them nothing. My land and my oil would have been mine. They would just have to take it as it was, and whatever they were going to get out of that would have came to me.
Ain't making no sense right now. But hold on, let me bring Vernon in.
All you got to do is look.
Okay, let me bring Vernon in. Vernon, you there, man?
Yeah, what's going on, everybody?
Oh, I hear you driving.
Oh, do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Vernon.
Damn it, boy.
What's happening, cuz?
I know what's happening, cuz. What's going on?
Nothing,
yeah, I think Mays, is Mays talking about mineral rights? Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I know what she's talking about. If that's what she's talking about. You know, it is a place you can buy land, but you don't buy the mineral rights. You know, you own what's on top, but you don't own what's abundant, you know.
Well, that's not what May is saying.
No,
May,
that's similar
I'm
to what
saying,
she's talking
they
about,
paid
but she's
some
not
of those
talking
that
about
did,
mineral rights.
No, yes, I am, because they were living there, and then they found there was oil up on the land. They gave them $25,000, everybody in the neighborhood, for that oil.
Mm-hmm.
So that
yeah, but
that's
not
that
what Vernon's talking about. Too.
When was
this talking about mineral rights. You can own the land on top, but you don't own the
but they didn't know it was any oil up under that property.
That's why they bought it from them, so that
deal.
Because they would own it, and they wanted to buy it from underneath them. So it's a little bit different than what Vern's introducing now.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Vern, whatever you
I thought maybe that's what she was talking about. I didn't know.
Similar to what she's talking about.
If they turn around and sold a mineral right, that's something different too now. For $25,000.
Yeah, but see that's
and
the way she makes it sound. That's the way she makes it sound. Like they was in the house and on the land. Then they came through and bought the land from under them, and they sold it for $25,000. But she's saying they didn't know the oil was there. So why would but here's my point. Why would I sell you my land and my house is sitting on it if I know there's nothing under it?
Because they thought it was a great deal, the $25,000.
So why would they sell the land and keep the house on top?
Yeah. That's my point.
They keeping the house on top, but the land, the oil up under there don't belong to them. If I was living there,
You're missing the question. Why would they sell the land and they have their house sitting on the land if they don't know any oil under there? Why would they do that?
Wouldn't they be a little suspicious that somebody might want to buy the ground underneath them?
I think that's what she's talking about. They sold the mineral rights
What she said is they did not know oil was under there. So I'm still trying to get the why would you sell your land that your house is sitting on for $25?
$25,000.
He didn't sell the land. They sold the mineral rights that's up under the land. I'm with you on that, Eric. Now, if somebody comes talking about buying my
mineral rights, why would they do that?
Because that was $25,000 for some people. They think it's a lot of money.
If somebody comes to me talking about buying mineral rights, I'm finna look into that. Mineral rights is one thing, but if you know you've got oil underneath your house,
you're not selling it for $25,000. You're selling it for $250,000 minimum.
Wait a minute. Hold up. So see,
Why would they keep the house on top anyway? What May's making it seem like, she says the house
is sitting there. Somebody walks up to them and say, "I'll give you $25,000 for your land." Okay, fine. That's a lot of money. Let me take that $25,000. But you can stay in your house sitting on this land that you just sold me for $25,000. I'm not understanding that. That makes no sense.
Then the other people would come along and say, "You're on my land. Get the fuck out."
You remember when they built that whole subdivision where that oil was sucking up out of the ground? But people in the lakes, on top of it.
You're missing, Maze. You're missing.
No.
You see, you saying it, but you're not listening to what you were saying.
I am listening to what I said, if it would have been me.
They did not know anything was under there.
They didn't.
So why are they selling their land?
Listen, talk. I'm trying to explain something to you. You're not listening. I said that when they bought their house, they didn't know oil was up under it. It's just like the houses that when the oil was seeping up, them people didn't know that oil up under that land. These until it started seeping up through the ground. But then with that subdivision, they didn't know what they had because they did a survey of the land and found out that oil was up on there after the houses were built, like years and years later. But them people been living there for maybe 20-something or 30 years.
You know,
they found that the oil is up under there. They gave them money for the resources that's up under their land. They cannot own it because they already sold it. It wouldn't be me taking $25,000 for it. That's what I'm saying. So what are you talking about?
So what I'm talking about is you're not listening to what you're saying. Once again, the question is, why would I sell the land that my house is sitting on for $25,000?
Because that's what they thought was money.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this question again. Why would I sell the land that my house is sitting under?
They didn't sell the land. They sold the resources up under their land.
They sold the mineral rights.
Yeah, the mineral rights, the oil is what they got.
But that's what
you're saying. But you're paying for that house and you're paying for that land, but you're not paying anything on the mineral rights.
No, listen, Maze. See, you're going back and forth here, and it's hard to figure. You like one of them feathers just going back and forth. But we're going to get to the bottom of this. Now, look.
Yeah, please.
Okay, now, they sold the mineral rights, all right? But they did not know anything was under the ground, correct?
Until they came to them trying to buy it.
Now, okay. I'm glad we got that point across. Now, why would I sell my mineral rights or my land?
Because you thought $25,000 worth of money. That's all I'm finna get.
No. Thank you. That makes no sense.
And if they came to you tomorrow, Mr. Talks, and told you that you got all up under your land and they wanted to offer you $25,000, what would you tell them?
I'm gonna tell them hell no.
Are you crazy?
They didn't do that.
I'm going to the nearest construction company and have an oil well built right next to my house so I can pump that oil. That's what should have happened, but they didn't do that.
They thought that was a great deal.
Mace is saying still holds no water. Because she keeps saying they didn't know.
Why do we keep going around and around?
I didn't say they didn't know.
Yes, you did.
When they bought the
said,
land, they didn't.
No, yeah. You said they did not know.
I said they had been on the land for 20 to 30 years. They didn't know anything was under there until they surveyed and told them.
Well,
that's
not
they
not knowing.
They
now, why are we talking? It's like talking to Michael or like talking to some.
That makes it even worse. If you've been on your land that long, hell no. I'm sorry. No. You
but everybody
get
don't think
know.
Like you.
Is there a topic? Let me see.
Or me.
Huh?
Well, didn't I tell you I told my friend I would have got more than that?
Hey, Mike, I see you in the chat room. How you doing?
I cannot even see you selling your land like that. I give a damn. You know, no, Maze. It has to be more to it than that, because what you're saying makes no sense.
Well, there has to be more to it. And I mean, $25,000 could be a lot of money to some people, but
once
you mention oil, you're not going
to
sell your land or the mineral rights for a mere $25,000 unless you are so bankrupt. Maybe you're 75 years old. You have no money coming in. Maybe. So I'd have to find out more about that. But once somebody mentions oil to me, I know $25,000 is chump change.
I know that. That's what I told the person. It's chump change. But to him, it wasn't like $25,000, maybe you ain't never had.
Look, where was
so
the rest of the
it?
Family to advise, no, don't sell that for that?
What?
See, I don't know. It's not making, it's just not driving with me. I'm sorry.
Well, you in Texas, you look it up and you maybe can understand it. Go in the Arlington part of Texas and see what those houses are sitting on this land and how much the people got for each plot. And that's all.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna knock on their door and ask them. They probably don't even remember.
And there's
I'll
another place where they have where the soil is good, and then they want to run the people from the little suburb that they have because the soil is good because they want it back because they living in swamp land and everything's starting to sink, so they want to go back to the site where they sold and left just like they did Detroit. So now they want it back, and they're doing everything to mess the neighborhood up to make sure that no resources are coming in. They're closing up all the malls, and they're doing all these things just because that land is important to them, and they want to get it back. But the people that's sitting on it now won't budge. You can't
okay,
be a nothing on it. You can't be a nothing new on it because they all get together every time they come in to try to do something, and they stop it.
Okay.
So that's why I say the same thing is going on in Detroit that's going on in this little place that I'm talking about. Because I got some property there,
the
and I would
no,
never sell
Detroit
it, and every time they
no.
come in, I'm right there to keep it from getting it.
Detroit
I don't
doesn't have
close every mall, they can close every office, everything. If I got to go 20 miles to go do what needs to be done now, that will happen, but they won't get that piece of property that I own.
No,
that's what
me.
I'm trying to say. They clean it out, take all the resources out, and then you go 10 miles down the road, you got a whole new subdivision on to the side. But that.
Okay. Okay, I had enough. I had enough. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Anyway. So, Vernon, what did you have? Do you have any comments on what we talked about before? Ebony, you might have quiet. We ain't put you to sleep, have.
Don't wake her up.
Well, yeah, I think Detroit is an example for what's going to happen to the rest of the damn country, man.
Okay. Well, Joe said we're already there, and I think it is a precursor to what's about to
look
go
look at what's
down.
Happened in California. Detroit, of course, is now in the headlines right now. But we are, in effect, a bankrupt country because a lot of states, only a few states, are really have balanced budgets. Most of the states, if not a majority, a lot of them, haven't balanced their budgets. Same thing with the cities. And that is causing America. It's one of the... one of the reasons why America is going downhill. So we're already there. And another
so
right. states,
Joe,
neither,
states
neither,
have balanced budgets.
Neither
states
nor cities, either one of them, were allowed to declare bankruptcy. But the law, I guess they changed it.
Well, that's the problem Detroit is having right now. Because there's actually a judge in Lansing, the capital, that says they cannot do that. They cannot file for bankruptcy, Chapter 9 bankruptcy. So, you know, that's something that's going to prolong, you know, Detroit's, how can I put it, sorrows or what have you. Because now they're going to have to eventually go through a court case to prove that they can actually file bankruptcy. It's just it's amazing. It's just crazy.
It's going to be costing taxpayers more money, something which liberals don't quite understand, and it may still be an answer to my question about what would happen if you redirected all the billions of dollars into your programs. We would still be in the state of affairs that we have today, because debt is debt. Doesn't matter if you direct it towards a battleship, Wall Street, individual welfare, or the man on the moon. Debt is debt.
What's the difference between a liberal and a conservative, or whatever y'all call yourselves?
Well, I'm not a conservative nor a liberal.
Or whatever you call yourself, what's the difference in either any of them? Why you can't be human beings?
Well, the liberals, you don't mind having your programs paid for by my tax dollars, and the conservatives don't mind spending my tax dollars on war. So that's the major difference between you two.
Really?
Okay.
Really?
But they all can get together and spend money to go to war, can't they?
Liberals don't really like war that much. Conservatives love war.
Independence and all of them.
But liberals love spending on domestic programs without knowing economics. The fact that it's being spent on programs per se isn't bad by itself. A country should have compassion for its citizens. But the way this currency, this monetary structure is set up, every time you spend a buck, no matter where it goes, Mays, it means we are in debt. That by itself.
We have been in debt. We didn't get in debt until yesterday.
Yeah, and all the
we've
presidents.
We've been in debt since how long have we been in debt?
Yeah, even before Bush. Been since JFK, even before him. Franklin Roosevelt started the whole shit.
So what's the complaint?
What do you mean, what's the complaint? What was I just talking about?
I'm going to tell you what's probably going to happen with this country. It's probably going to end up just like Russia.
That's right.
It's going to be divided. Uh-huh. Separated, everybody going to be going their own. It's going to be their own little states. It's going to be different little, you know, it's not going to be ran by, you know, one big, you know, have one president over the whole thing no more.
It's already been described in certain papers, five regions are to be divided up within America.
Yeah, I believe that.
Is that anything new? They split all other countries up. Nobody would complain about how they going to deal over there.
No, but Maze,
so time for this place to get it too. Time for this place to get it too.
You
know, like
you mean all the countries?
Around,
you mean
around,
like, you mean
you
like Croatia and Serbia and Yugoslavia and the and Russians breaking up into Ukraine? Then nobody complained.
Nobody complained. No, nobody complained.
And when the Indians got destroyed by the cavalry, nobody complained about that.
When they took over America and the Indians, the Native Americans, I don't call them Indians, they are Native Americans. Thank you.
They'll
they
be called whatever
the
they
want to
be
called. You had to put them on reservations in order for them to even the land belongs
complain.
To them. That's what it is.
Yeah, but, Maze, you know, sometimes you just don't listen to yourself.
Well, if I don't, just don't listen to myself.
Thank you.
It's just like when the Hispanic Mexican come back and take the Alamo, baby, y'all get ready for
that
one.
I like
that
one. It's like, remember what Maze said about a couple of months ago? What was it that was said? So what if the man is smart? So what?
You didn't never hear me say that. You must say that and been worried about that.
I don't think Maze remember a lot of the stuff she be talking about.
I remember what I said. It's just like Alamo was going back to the people that it belonged to too. Since we want to talk about places been taken and moved around, who did the Alamo belong to?
Alamo belong to?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was stolen by Davy Crockett, so I agree with you. If you don't talk about Mexico, but then Mexico was Mexicans conquered the Incas. I mean, all of the world.
Hey, whoa. What the hell are y'all talking about?
The Aztecs, the Incas, how the Spanish influence.
Yeah, and the Austin and Sam Houston fault. That's how Austin became the capital of Texas, and instead of Houston, yeah, we know all that. But what they got to do with what we're talking about right now?
Well, the
Brennan was saying that they're going to split up America and make it into different little spots and splats. They already did it.
Yeah, but you said nobody complained about it.
They're not.
So that goes back with the first story. Vernon, do you think the president did the right thing? He stepped up and mentioned that he can relate to being profiled.
I don't know, Eric. I mean, I think he kind of expressed his emotional feelings. You know, he let his emotions get the best of him, but for his position, I don't think he should have. I don't really think he should have ever went there, man.
You don't think? Why not?
Nah, he just shouldn't have, man. He should have let that one alone.
I mean, doesn't that kind of say, okay, look, I recognize that there's a problem because I've been through that myself. I mean, we actually have a black man in office that's saying, yes, I can relate. I've been through this. So, you know, it's just not something that everyone seems to think that is imaginativeness. You know, imagine. You know, someone is imagining. No, it's real.
But
so let's do something.
This same president home state had 500 and some murders last year.
That's true.
And, you know, and he's speaking on this one incident. That don't look right. Why ain't he talking about that? Why ain't he trying to get something done about that?
Well, you know what, Vernon? Maybe this is his way to open up a forum to take care of that now. And maybe because, you know, he does not have to worry about reelection anymore. And he's probably like, whatever. You know, whatever now. You know, let me go on and you know, hey, for the longest black people been saying, he hasn't done anything for us. He hasn't stood up. So maybe now he says, oh, what the heck, I got a couple of years left. Let me go on and take care of home. Maybe that's what his thought process. I don't know. It's just my theory on it. But I don't know. What?
Do you think it's necessary because of what the president said that they had to put a hoodie on his head and make it look as if, I mean, I think it was silly. And then they put one on Martin Luther King's head. What does a hoodie got to do with anything? I'm saying
well, you
that
ask your,
stuff
look,
going on
look,
on Fox.
You ask your so-called black leaders. What that has
black
to do with? Because they're the ones who walked around here with hoodies on, talking about I'm Trayvon Martin.
No,
I'm Trayvon Martin.
That's not what I'm saying. I told you, the first person that had the hoodie on was a Caucasian. His name was Keith Olbermann. He wore the hoodie.
Look, goddamn, that makes.
Now you don't have a job
what
on.
What's your point?
My point is, what the big deal? Why they got to put one on the president's head and they got to put one on Martin Luther King's head? And I don't have no leader. So y'all is the ones that's talking about screaming about leaders. I don't have no leaders. I told y'all that one time. I don't follow nobody.
But you know why you put hoodies on them?
Because when you look
at sales
t-shirts, Pat Robinson, huh?
It sells t-shirts. It sells hoodies.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why they do it. Other than
but
that, they really have.
Like,
you know, that's like on Facebook with everybody putting them black dots on their pages or whatever. Why? what purpose is it really serving? None. But I'm
Everybody putting. No, I was gonna say, when is the right time to speak out then? Because Vernon, you're saying, you know, 50. He had like what? How many murders in his state last year? Well, when is the right time to speak out? You know, are we saying that he should never speak out, or you know, are you saying there's a right time? There's just never a right time. It's when you feel. There is enough expression in the country at the moment of a lot of sentiments around this whole thing. I mean, and I think that's the right time. I think it is the right time, you know. People may also criticize Beyonce and Jay-Z for getting out there and protesting, but I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I think, you know, people should show their support for it. And there's never a wrong time to start showing that you're a black person who feels like every other black person, injustice has been done. So I don't see a problem with it, personally.
Well, I mean, what I don't like about the whole situation, Evan, is he had to get his arm put behind his back. They had to literally put him in the damn chicken wing to make him say something. That's my thing.
I don't know how you know that.
Why couldn't he address this thing? Because this has been a problem that's been going on before he was even in office.
Thank you.
So, I mean, this should have been something he should have been talking about. I mean, I'm not for a Democrat or a Republican. I'm gonna tell you straight up now, I'm not an Obama fan. I mean, I know y'all probably don't like that either. I'm not an Obama fan. I ain't a Romney fan. I ain't none of them fan. Because to me, in my eyes, all of them are politicians, and deep down, they don't give a damn about what's going on with nobody else around them.
I hear that.
I'm saying, what evidence is there that he had his hand put up his back?
Do I think
what's the evidence for that? What's the evidence for that?
What is that noise?
I don't know.
Making a sandwich.
Somebody phone.
Oh, it sounds like Joe's phone.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't hear anything. So, go ahead.
It got very noisy. I'm saying, what is the evidence that he had his hand put up his back? What is the evidence for that? Because, you know, people like to say stuff, that, but there's no proof for it. Where is the proof that he was forced to do it?
That boy by who?
Well, I'll give you my opinion after Bernie.
Ebony.
I'm not going to be born by his children.
In America, the evidence is there all the time.
Well, she's asking. Well, Bernie, she's asking you, what is the evidence? It's here, but what is it?
Where is the evidence?
I mean, we got several problems going on in America, man. Not just, you know, Trayvon getting killed. I mean, you got cops doing things like that to black people all the time, man. It's not just black people. You know, you got it going on with white people. I'm going to be straight up about
Thank
it.
Thank you, Bernie.
You know, we have had, I tell you what, down here where I live, it was a white guy. This was a white guy. He had a bad day at work. He got on his four-wheeler, ATV, whatever you want to call it, went out in the woods and started shooting pine cones out the tree. His wife called the cops. The cops come out there to his place, and they told him he needed to put his gun down. He told him he wasn't bothering nobody. Now, this was the word from the cops, now, what he said. He wasn't bothering anybody, and he was on his own land. If he wanted to get out there and shoot pine cones, he could. And he told them that they need to get off his property. Well, he raised his gun up again, and they shot him down.
Mm-hmm. But, Vernon, the only difference between that incident, is not repeated on the news day in and day out every day. Things like that happen to other communities. But you can only look at one community. What else do you expect to just blame that one community of doing stuff to each other? And everybody else is doing. But everybody said, don't look at what everybody else is doing. But you have to
look at the way. Neither of them went to prison, man.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's the system.
But I'm saying there's lots of stuff happening in the U.S., but I still don't get why people are saying that the president was forced. Because,
okay, here's...
Okay,
all right. Here's the thing. Traditionally, presidents have not come out on personal issues. As I said before, you cannot come out on personal issues because if you do and you start setting a precedent like that, you're going to be criticized for making statements. And then when you don't make statements, the other side is going to criticize you for not making statements because they're going to say you're picking and choosing. So up until this time, very few presidents have made. I'm sorry for talking while you're interrupting me.
Please let him finish, Mace. Come on. I want to hear this.
So consequently, presidents, if they're wise, they don't comment personally on the issues of the day. They just go on about national policy. He did it today or the other day. I don't have a problem with him doing that, but he shouldn't make a habit of it because, again, as I've already explained, once he starts making comments, people are going to ask, why are you doing it or why are you not choosing this other particular issue? So in order just to remain neutral. So consequently, traditionally, since they haven't been doing it, for him to have done it today, I doubt, because this guy to me is a Marxist, the worst president that we've ever had. For him to start making comments like this, I believe he had to have been pressured.
All right. So that's your opinion? That's your opinion. So
now let me get
back to America. Hold on. He gave an opinion. I just want to respond to that. That's an opinion. That's still no evidence, okay? And the question was, what evidence do you have? So let's just say that's two people's opinion that maybe the president decided to act in the way that he did because of, for some reason unknown to you guys, because I still don't know the reason from what you both said. So let's try and stick to something where we're going to have some facts, because unless you guys are talking about stuff you really know, please, don't just give the rhetoric, because it's not true. There's no truth in it.
What do you mean
I'm
there's
sorry.
No truth in it? The lack of concrete evidence by itself is the evidence itself.
But Ebony, it goes like
evidence. Oh. Yeah, come on, you know it.
Come on.
One person say it and another one pick it up and keep going on like that. And they pass the word.
My opinion is this.
He can put something out there and then everybody else use it. You can take O'Reilly, he put something out there and that's how they go with it. They don't know if the president getting sick of this mess and he getting ready to call it to an end, but somebody had to push him out there to do it. Just like Tavis Smiley said, somebody had to push him. He don't know.
Well,
nobody pushed him to do the things that he's doing. You don't know,
but then you have to go by tradition. If something, if tradition has been broken, then you have to have a reason. Right?
You don't know.
Doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter.
Yes, it do, because if it gets spread like that and nobody never asks a question of what they're saying, yeah, it matters.
It does matter because people are using the argument that Joe's using and Vernon's using to undermine the value of what's been said, really. Because when you start focusing on what you think the reasons were behind why he did it, you lose sight of the argument. You lose sight of the fact that he said something that needed to be said, and you lose the value of what was said. And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes people love to bring in the distractions. And I'm saying the distraction here is not a good thing to do, because actually we need people at the top level to start expressing something. I don't care when they do it. I don't care what the timing is. But at some point, someone needs to stand up and say, actually, this shit is crazy, and what are we going to do about it?
Do that.
And hey, come on, get in line, let's go check out, review this stuff out there.
Politicians
and he's done.
Have
but
been
Ebony,
doing
it. It goes like this, Ebony.
Give him the benefit of
the
doubt. Why don't you slap it down as something that he's just been forced to do, and it's not something that should
be done?
Well,
where's the evidence that despite what's been happening traditionally, when presidents haven't been coming out on issues, that all of a sudden this guy who is a confirmed Marxist who's been doing shit ever since he got into office, all of a sudden now he's expressing a personal
Ebony,
opinion. Where's the evidence that he's doing it because
no
he's there?
But Ebony, when those kids got shot, up at that school,
and no one's saying what you're saying, Joe. So there's no premise for any of it, because we're not saying that he had a great motive behind what he did. But what we're saying, we don't know the motive, so let's not go there.
That's what you're saying.
But Joe
you
is saying that certain things he should speak about, and certain ones he shouldn't. That's what he's saying.
You're saying
it's undermining his value because he's not doing it authentically. Well, maybe it's not. You want it to be authentic, and who doesn't? But the fact is that it's very, very possible that he's doing it simply because he's a politician.
No. But it's what I'm saying. It's thinking about the gun law. When he came out and spoke about guns, y'all didn't like what he said about that.
That's his policy, though. That's not
a personal. And so he come out and speak out for something that he know for a fact has happened to him. He don't supposed to talk about that. All the other presidents get the opportunity to say what they mind and what they
name
do.
Name me five presidents
who
have named and two
of
these that mean
when he talks
statements.
About Bubba driving,
okay.
driving
they
truck.
Have talked about personal issues.
Yeah, personal issues. It was personal to him what he see going on. And he's been on both sides of the track.
No,
and he's seeing what's going on, and he said it's real change.
Eight,
which it does.
Nine,
and he wasn't wrong about
eight,
that.
Seven.
Eight,
six,
okay.
Five.
Now. You know what? The good thing about him coming out and saying something is we're discussing it. And maybe that's what's needed all over the nation is just to get the discussion started. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it was about.
So if maybe he was pressured into coming out, okay, he was pressured into coming out. Even if he wasn't, it started the conversation that needed to be started. And it added a little bit more credence to what the conversation needs to be about.
But they're not having a conversation about it. Everything
we are.
But see, here's another thing also. Oh, some places where we don't know the conversation is going on. You can believe that, Maze. Now, but here's another thing also. You know, it's if you notice, it's kind of trickling down. If the president can go out here in front of a bunch of reporters and say, yes, I understand, I have been profiled, so forth and so on. Now, if you pay attention, a lot of other top so-called elite blacks are actually beginning to say the same thing. You know, so whether they're doing it just to jump on the wagon or they really mean it, the conversation is beginning to happen. And that's something that needs to go on through the United States. The conversation needs to happen because it is something that's real.
Yeah, but they don't want the conversation to happen. They've been trying to evade the conversation. And then Armstrong said that never happened to him. I'm like, what planet have he been walking on?
But now he's spoken up, and we're talking about it.
And
so
you're supposed to
problem?
Take the lead from that and see what you're going to do about it, not talking about it. That's the problem. You want to
so
talk
what
about
do you want to do
see
about
how you're going
to
do to change the
so
things that we see that's wrong. It's already like we see
Maybe,
now. We don't. We, that's
do
not really
it?
Happening.
Okay.
Because
so
you got a bunch of people saying it's not happening.
So what's the solution,
man? I think you've already got people doing something about it, Joe. You've got people right across the U.S. protesting. You've got people lobbying their senators or whatever to look at the law and review it in their states. I think that's the right thing to be happening right now. I think also we've raised the debate to a higher level, and I think that is important instead of people just being angry and looking at, you know, as protests or even, you know, rioting as a response. People are actually saying, well, you know, the debate needs to go to the very top. And I think by President Obama opening it up at that level, it's opened up where it should be opened up. And I think when it's top down, people start to respect it a bit more, and they think there's a possibility then of some form of change. It could be all lip service. It really could be. But I think if you look at it in from the perspective that, you know, all change is good change. I don't care how it comes about. You know, Malcolm X said by any means necessary, and I absolutely agree with him, by any means. And I think it has to start from the top, but it's also got to start from the bottom. And I think from the bottom has spoken, right? Those millions of people who are out there saying, you know, enough is enough. And I guess they're not just black people. There are also some white people there as well.
It's everybody.
Yeah. Then it's opened up the floodgates for change. And that's
mm-hmm.
what we need.
Right.
If they're talking about,
okay.
If they're talking about boycotting. Some people don't like that, but if that's the way they can get to the people that
May,
are doing wrong,
May,
that's
May,
the
May.
They
do
need.
Do you have to have a comment on everything?
Yes, that's why I'm sitting here.
Because, good Lord. Well, maybe you need to listen sometime.
Yeah, that's
all
I was
going to
talk. I thought that's what I was doing.
You know, Mace told me she's been married for 32 years. I know your husband is a good man.
You talk more than I do.
Oh, Lord, help me.
That's
how
the only way he gets you to listen, too.
And for all y'all know, y'all might have been talking to him and don't even know it.
Oh.
I'll put it that way. Well, he's
okay,
a little nicer
I'm
than I am. I'll put it that way.
Oh, you married to Michael?
Oh, let me stop.
Married to Michael?
No, Mike's not married. No.
Hey, we want
to
give a
no, I'm not married to Michael.
Look, we want to give a shout out to the All Facts Show in the chat room today. What's up, Mike?
All
How you
facts
doing?
Is Michael here?
Yeah, he's in the chat.
He's in the chat. Let me see.
He's in the chat room. Yeah, but anyway.
Have you got 82 on as well?
Huh?
Have you got N2 knowledge on?
No. I don't see him. Unless he undercover. Yeah.
All facts is Michael who?
Yeah, you know Mike. That's the one we wanted banned. Michael. And I told him the other day. I told him about 2 days ago. I said if he came back on the show, Eric wouldn't ban him. But he still thinks Eric's going to ban him. Perry's going to ban him. I told him.
He got
his own
show.
Said
so
that,
have...
He would still be on the show.
Well, we got his own show. I never
yeah, I've been on the
know,
show.
I,
it, he actually hey. Lets you talk.
Yeah, he actually behaves on my show. I don't know what I do to him, but he always behaves.
Well,
you
like
my
voice.
You
like
don't agitate him. You know how to.
Look, Michael is welcome on the show at any time. As long as he acts accordingly to the house rules, I have no problem with Michael being on the show. I've said that before.
Yeah,
you know,
I think he knows. He just doesn't want to come back on. I think
well,
he's got
his
own
show,
though.
He don't. I guess he can do his own
talking. I've been there a couple of times.
You were on the show about 2 days ago, weren't you, Eric?
Yeah, I be there. I visit every now and then. You know,
but
I have no problem
no
supporting you. So it's no problem.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get back to what we were talking about. Okay, Mike, you didn't have your 5 minutes of fame. Hope you enjoyed it. Anyway.
I didn't see him in the chat room.
Yeah, he in the chat room. But
anyway,
yeah,
I was introducing
my
girl.
Not here.
Michael
is here.
I was saying.
No, that's Michael Hood. That's different than Michael.
No, that's not Michael. Michael All Facts.
The All Facts Show. There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And tell him he can come back. You know, I've introduced him to my girl in the UK, so anything's possible. He was
lovely. Oh, that's why he put up his picture, by the way. He said that the other night. I'm talking about you now, All Facts, like you talk about me. He said he was on a show and all the girls were asking all about him and everything. So he said he's going
to
put up his picture. So he put up his picture. Let's see if the girls flock to the show.
Oh, I think he's pretty cute anyway.
See that, Michael? See that, Michael?
Well, is it too late for him to call call in. I'd like to hear what he got to say.
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah, it's too late. It's not too late now. Yeah, it's too late now.
To not talk.
Well, y'all, we just hit the power hour. only people can hear us now is us.
All right, we're in overtime now. Sorry, Michael.
Yeah, we in overtime.
Oh,
wow.
That's a shame. But my girl in the UK really liked him. She was like, "Wow, he's kind of cute. He's all right." Although I think she liked N2's voice better, but she did like Mark.
If you listen
to the show, he was all like giddy. He was like, oh.
Wow.
Well, Mike likes to talk about relationships, so why not?
Yeah, but I've never heard Mike. He sounded so, like, in love. He was so sexy. I was like, wow. You know, he was like,
there you go.
I'm about to barf somewhere. Lord.
I didn't know you had sex.
Different people are attracted to different people.
Nah, I guess so, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well. All right, well, let's go through it, y'all. I think we didn't hit it now. We didn't close it with Michael, so I think that's
so Michael got his 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, he got his 15 minutes of fame. So we get ready to get up out of here. Let's go on and start with the last words. And we're going to start with Mace because I know she's going to take the longest. Go ahead, Mace.
I don't take the longest. I'm shorter. Change. Don't run from change. Involve yourself in change. Because when you run and take what somebody else gave you to pass on, sometimes it might not be right. Look at what
you know,
dislike it.
You know, you was good when you started at the first part.
I know it. You don't like what I have to say, but I love you anyway. So.
Oh, I know. What I'm saying. What I'm saying is, when you said the first few words, it was great.
Yeah.
You know? But then you added the extra and kind of killed the moment.
I don't want everybody to agree with everything I got to say. But I don't have to hate them because I don't. Is that right, Vernon?
You're right.
Okay. Well, anyway, thank you, Mace, and I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah. I'm sure you have a lot tomorrow.
Yes, I will if I'm here.
All right. Vernon.
Yeah, well, I mean, good show, Eric. A real good show, man. I like that. I did more listening today than anything, but, you know, I think it is time for the president to show some concern, but now to find out, you know, how sincere he is, we just have to kick back and watch and see what go on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he need to be, you know, one-sided with showing his sincerity. I think, you know, as being the president of the United States, you know, he need to show his sincerity toward all people, not just one race of people, but all people. You know, that's all I'm going to say, man.
All right, sir. And once again, thank you. And I'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day. All right, Mr. Joe.
Man, a few words. We'll see you when I see you.
All right, sir. See you tomorrow. Have a good one.
You too.
See you, Joe.
I'm not saying anything to you.
All right, Miss Ebony. You got the final word.
Oh, well, I want to say, great show, Mr. Talk. You know I love your shows. Change. I think change is important, and I welcome the changes that, you know, the president is talking about. I welcome the fact that, you know, finally, you know, from the top down, we're starting to see something happen. And, you know, I really love change in any form. And I think people need to support it, be positive about it. You know, let's see what happens. But let's be.
Okay, I guess change caught up with Ebony. Now, that was funny. All right, y'all. Well, I can't help from laughing with that one. That was pretty good. Hey, I want to say thank everybody for joining me today. Joe, Ebony, Mace, Vernon, Miss Lady, everybody in the chat room, Janice, Lethal Migraine, Hood, All Facts. Hey, who else did? I think I got everybody who showed up today. All my guests in there. And, of course, 817, thank you. Hugs and kisses. All right. Well, y'all, you know what? I got to get up out of here. Hey, just remember, it's always good to know that, as everybody has said, it's about time. You know, I think he stepped up and he did what he needed to do. Whether it was pushed or not, it was good to see him stand up and step out on something that everybody has a big thought process on. Okay? All right. Well, until tomorrow, y'all, hey, keep smiling. Keep smiling. Show appreciation. And make sure you forgive with an open heart. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't mean to be laughing, but everybody keep clicking on the thing like she want to come back. Hold on. We're going to let her finish. Then I'm going to get out of here with the song of the day. Hold on. Go ahead,
I'm
Ebony.
I'm so sorry. Somebody rang my phone just in the key moment. I couldn't believe it. I was like, how can you do that? How can you ring my phone right now? Okay. Oh, it's not so bad. It was my guy anyway, so he probably couldn't wait to speak to me.
Okay.
But anyway, what I was trying to say is that it's great to welcome change in any form, wherever it starts. It's good. Let's support it. Let's be positive, and let's hope that this is the start of something different for the U.S. And also, because you're our cousins, we're always looking at what you do, and I think it's a great example because, yeah, you're one of the richest nations in the world, yeah, in some parts, not Detroit. But, you know, and for that reason, anything that you do will have an impact on what happens to us as well. So we're looking at you, and we're hoping that this is the start of something great. So let's support it.
All righty, ma'am. Thank you. And you have a good one. And we see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Thank you.
All right. All right, y'all. And we let her get her last words in. Yeah, y'all know I'm nice like that. Hey, tomorrow's show, Preachers and Reality Shows. That should be a good one. But till you end, y'all. And we're going to go out of here with what? We're not going to take it anymore. Until tomorrow, y'all. Peace out. I'm gone.